using.
Oh, is it?
No,
it's not red yet.
You can just paste it.
Okay.
Red.
I need to take this plastic. It's an emergency.
And not twirly red, but red.
Waiting for it to come
on.
Okay.
Waiting.
Thinking.
Okay.
Welcome, everybody. This is Isle of Palm Special Emergency Council Meeting. Today is March the 27th at 6:45. I'd like to announce that both the press and the public were duly notified of this meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. But please let me apologize. Regular and special council meetings need to be advertised at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting. However, emergency meetings are the exception and can be held on a moment's notice, but the purpose must be clearly in emergency nature. The city posted an agenda on the website, made notifications to members of the media and to the public via our website and social media accounts. I apologize for this last minute, but we just had to do it. First item on the agenda is discussion of possible action regarding the Attorney General opinion issued on March 27, 2020. Do I hear a motion to go into executive session?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to go into executive session.
Second.
According to Section 30-4-70, to receive legal advice concerning the discussion and possible action regarding the Attorney General's opinion issued on March 27, 2020. So when we go into exec session, please, I hate to do this, but you will have to log back in about 10, 12 minutes. So please come back and join us, but we just want to make sure that we get the proper legal advice. Thank you. All those in favor of going into exec session, say aye.
Aye.
John Moy?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, we are now in executive session.
Here we go.
Okay, we are coming out of executive session. No decisions were made at all concerning the discussion and possible action regarding the Attorney General's opinion issued on March 27, 2020. Any discussion? Let me just reiterate one point about what we did in the letter we wrote to the governor. Our current measures in place have reduced the number of calls and the risk of exposure to our residents and staff. That's the key sentence right there. We're limiting the exposure and the number of calls and risks to for our residents and staff.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that City Council stay the course based upon the expert legal advice we received 2 nights ago.
Oh, medical advice, you mean?
Oh, I don't know where it was.
The medical advice?
Medical advice.
Medical
advice?
Yeah. I would say that the motion would be we was City Council stay the course that we're currently on.
We have a motion to stay the course. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Who made the second?
Rusty.
Okay, Rusty made the second. Any discussion on this?
I would agree. Totally agree.
Make a comment that I agree, and listening today to everything that's been on television, listening to the governor's conference as well, the course was folks will use common sense, and I think what got us into this was understanding that we have a place that's highly populated in good weather where we don't see the right amount of common sense. And, you know, it was felt prudent by this council that we do what we can with sound medical advice to protect the community and frankly, to protect the Lowcountry. Large groups and gatherings aren't just protecting this island. they're protecting people from coming to this island and going back to their place of residence and potentially spreading disease. And I think we've acted in an incredibly responsible manner.
Councilman Moy.
I had a question. There was a motion made to maintain the ordinance. Is that what I heard?
Councilmember Moy, the motion that was made by Councilmember Ward was to stay the course, and it was seconded by Councilmember Streetman.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. Do we need a motion?
We've already got it. Got it, right?
You already have a motion on the table, and it was seconded.
But he's just asking, did
we need
a motion? No, we didn't need a
motion. It's not necessary, however.
It's reaffirming.
For the record. Okay.
Yeah, for the
Understood.
Record.
Thank you.
Just a comment. 2 days ago, nationwide, there's 52,000 cases. We just broke 100.
Wow.
2 days ago.
Okay. And yes, sir.
And one comment from the data we have today is, I don't want to jinx anything, but Isle of Palms is still showing no cases. So,
right.
Yeah, Councilmember Smith.
So, given the nature of potential exposure that would come with weekly spring vacation traffic, a policy of business as usual is a recipe for disaster for public health in South Carolina right now in this current pandemic situation. So, I'm very hopeful that the governor will actually take clear and decisive action to protect the citizens of South Carolina. Given the risk that we heard earlier this week from MUSC expert Dr. Ed O'Brien.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Councilman Streetman speak, then Councilman Moore will follow up.
Well, I think with us reinforcing what we already have in place, I mean, we are basically following pretty much what Governor McMaster wanted to be done anyway, dispersing crowds. Of more than three, actually authorizing the police to do that within the state. I think we stay the course.
Councilmember Moy.
Thank you. I was going to kind of piggyback on some of the comments from Councilmember Smith, and I would urge our community, our residents in the Charleston community and the South Carolina community at large to reach out to the governor and urge him to be a strong, firm leader in this dire situation that we find ourselves in. We need strong leadership, and we need we need the governor to help control this disease by making those decisions that keep people indoors, keep people from spreading the disease. And so I think we are, to Councilmember Bell's point, and I think everyone here would agree, we're doing the best we can with the data we have to try to protect not just our residents, but the healthcare system in our local community as best we can by reducing the spread of the disease.
Thank you. Anyone else? All those in favor of the motion to continue as we voted on 2 days ago, signify by saying aye. And let's do a roll call, please.
Sure. Councilmember Moy?
Aye.
Councilmember Bell?
Aye.
Mayor Carroll?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Popson?
Aye.
Councilmember Pounds?
Aye.
Councilmember Ward?
Aye.
Councilmember Buchanan?
He can't vote.
Oh, he is. He is recused.
Recused.
Okay, the motion passes, Mayor.
How about Mr. Streetman?
Oh, like Councilmember Streetman.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion passes 8-0. Councilmember Buchanan could not vote due to a recuse of owning rental property.
A clarification with the motion specifically was to continue with the course of action. Mm-hmm. I was assuming that meant both the restrictions that we placed on beach access as well as our short-term rental restrictions. Is that correct?
Correct. You mean the checkpoints?
Stay the course.
Okay. I just want to make sure that that's clear.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Item 3, consideration of a resolution to the governor requesting a stay-at-home order. Resolution R-2020-01, a resolution of the City of Isle Palms calling upon the Governor, Henry McMaster, to issue a mandatory stay-at-home order for the state of South Carolina for such a period of time as may be deemed necessary and appropriate by the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control. I'm going to forego all the whereas and whereas and whereas and go to the therefore. Therefore, we, the undersigned members of the Town Council of the Isle of Palms, call upon Governor Henry D. McMaster to undertake and coordinate all necessary and reasonable activities for this emergency response to include the issuance of mandatory stay-at-home order, unless providing or requiring an essential service for the state of South Carolina for a minimum of 14 days or such period as may be determined to be appropriate by the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control and deemed necessary to protect the health, the public health, safety, and welfare of the population of the state of South Carolina. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I would actually like to have consideration for an amendment. The 14-day period reference, when we met 2 days ago and had an expert in Dr. O'Brien, consult with this council, we asked specifically if 14 days was a sufficient period to have any impact on flattening the curve and stemming the issue that's before us. And it was categorically stated that 14 days was inadequate, that it would likely take at least an additional couple of weeks. I would like to make an amendment that this be synced up with those time frames. I don't know if 30 days is the appropriate language, but the dates that we used in the prior resolution was April 30th.
Correct.
And that everything that we do as this council should be consistent with what we've done in the past. So whatever language is needed.
A motion, and we have a second to sync up these dates.
Was there a motion to approve the resolution and now that we're amending?
Yes.
Okay. And then
an amendment.
Motion to amend and include April 30th as the deadline for the stay-at-home order.
Yeah,
that's correct. All right. Councilman Bell and Councilman Ward did the second. So we're going to vote on the amendment first.
Well, I just want to get something clear.
Yes, sir.
She said deadline. The actual language doesn't say that.
No.
We can have further consideration, right? April 30th, if we have to.
Oh, yeah. This is a fluid situation.
Okay. So we'll make sure it wasn't deadline.
And it could be less time, too.
Could be less.
Yeah, I was going to add, is there any such period as may be determined?
Right.
Okay. Voting on the amendment. All of those in favor of the amendment, signify. Roll call, please. I'm sorry.
Mayor Carroll?
Aye.
Councilmember Bell?
Aye.
Councilmember Popson?
Aye.
Councilmember Pounds?
Aye.
Councilmember Ward?
Aye.
Councilmember Streetman?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Moy?
Aye.
Councilmember Buchanan?
Aye.
The amendment passes.
The amendment passed 8-0.
Nine.
Oh, Ryan could vote on
it.
Sorry about that. It passed unanimously.
So, Mr. Mayor, so we're back to the original motion.
And we're going back to the original motion, consideration resolution for the governor requesting a stay-at-home order.
So what's our purpose in sending this, and probably more importantly, what are our unintended consequences? So this would shut down non-essential businesses, right? Mm-hmm. So let me ask the first question. What's our purpose in sending this particular resolution?
Our goal is, again, to try to get the state to understand the severity of what we're faced with. We look at the number of cases. I think somebody told me 539, of which 89 were brand new.
86.
And, you know.
13 deaths.
13 deaths. We got 21 in Mount Pleasant. We have 5 on Sullivan's Island. This is snowballing.
I get that.
This is all about.
Yeah, and I get that.
We're trying to get the state to understand the severity from our perspective as a coastal community.
So then, what are our...
I'd like to respond.
Yes, sir.
If I can answer the question from Councilmember Pounds as well. One of the big challenges that I think we're facing as a state, and particularly in the Lowcountry, is the lack of consistency across the state. And really what we're calling on the governor is to establish a greater degree of consistency throughout the entire state so that there's clarity across our communities as to A, how serious and grave this situation is, and B, what are the best measures that we have to be taking to prevent the spread. Right now, we've gotten requests and recommendations for what we should do, but unfortunately, we found large populations of folks don't follow those recommendations and requests, and that's why we're, from my perspective, that's why this resolution is necessary, so that we communicate to the governor how critical we think it is that he take the stand and enforce some of the regulations that are going to protect our state.
Yeah, so, and I don't disagree with any of the severity. I get all of that. I'm just more concerned about what are the unintended consequences by requesting something like this, I guess is what I'm trying to look for.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
To keep in mind, we're not passing anything that changes anything that's in place.
I get that.
So from my perspective, and I'm sure those of us that are retired and watch these news conferences, I think we're asking the state to step up to the plate and do their job to provide some consistency. I've not seen it. I watch other states and what they're doing. It's clear. When I hear guidelines of don't worry, people will use common sense, this will all work. I always ask, is this enforceable? And I look at our public safety officials and I go, how on earth would you enforce this? To Councilmember Moy's point, we're asking the governor to provide consistent policy for this state, particularly as it relates to areas that are inundated with tourists during not just peak seasons. We don't have a spring break now. We have everybody out of school. And we need some consistent direction and policy out of the governor's office. And I think one way to do that is send a message. It's non-binding on us. It just says this is a request from a coastal community to step up to the plate and help us.
I get all that. My question is, what happens if somebody adopts this? I mean, what are the unintended consequences that happen if the governor says, oh my gosh, IOP said I need to do X, so I'm going to go do X? Then what? That's what I get all of this, but what happens if something like this got put in place? All the decisions we talked about around non-essential businesses, I'm assuming all that gets shut down. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get to. I know we're not passing anything. I know we're not, you know, this doesn't carry any weight other than our group's opinion of what we're doing.
Well, essential businesses would still operate.
Right, you're right.
It really depends on what guidelines the governor would include as part of that decision. You know, some of the other states that have adopted, say, stay-at-home orders have a number of exceptions.
Yeah.
So,
Huge number.
Yes, that would be up to the governor to include any specific guidelines or specific policies associated with a stay-at-home order. We don't know. That would be up to him.
So we don't know what what exceptions may be or what unintended consequences may be. I mean, that's just my concern. I mean, I'm totally in agreement with all the, we need some clarity and we need some leadership. I get that.
And consistency.
But is this the best, and the consistency is a big piece of it. Is this the best way to go about it? Or is this the only way to go about it, I guess? Asking for a 14-day, could we just replace it and say, step up and do your job, essentially? You know what I'm saying? I mean, is there a better way to get that message across? That's really my question.
I say this is a clear message from us asking for clear guidance from him or clear direction, not something that is a request of citizens and visitors, but an order to citizens and visitors, because we are in a pandemic situation where that necessitates strong direction and leadership. And while we are in a heightened area of exposure because of vacation traffic, this really should apply to all of South Carolina because of what's on the line here. 2 weeks, when in the end we might find that sacrifice could have some payoff in preventing a worse situation, is, I think, well worth it.
Yeah, and again, I may not be making my point well, and maybe I don't even have
I understand what you're saying. You're asking, what are we asking for?
Yeah.
And what are the ramifications of shutting down business and the like? We've already made a huge step on our part of sacrificing, obviously, you know, clearly we don't want to damage our local businesses. As a municipality, we have made a conscious decision to sacrifice a chunk of tax revenue that comes in with our vacationers. Yeah. Because we feel like it's important for public health.
Yeah, and I guess to me there's just a better way to say this instead of asking for some specificity. Why couldn't we ask for, you know, some uniform guidance across the state leadership? But however we would, and maybe that's not, maybe that's too squishy to send in a resolution. Maybe you need something with this kind of specificity. And I don't mean to beat a dead horse. I want to be careful with what we're going to throw into the Columbia pen of life. And be careful what you ask for sometimes, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to.
Councilmember Streetman.
Yes, well, I think by us calling on a resolution for the mandatory stay-at-home, it would be consistent with what some other entities have done within the state already. I mean, I know that there's been legislators that have been calling on the governor to take a firm stand on making some sort of decision, whether it be mandatory stay-at-home or at least give more guidance. The state newspaper editorial board just a few days ago did the same thing. You know, they reversed their course, their opinion, basically, and said, you know, you really ought to be issuing a stay-at-home. And so far, there's really been no clear direction coming from the governor's office. So I don't see this as being inconsistent with what some other entities within the state has done. And I think the more that we as a municipality, and maybe other municipalities may follow suit, I don't know, but I think it does put more onus on the governor to be more firm on the stand of what we should be doing going forward in regards to the virus.
I think it's a brave, firm step.
Jimmy, move this a little bit so we can hear you.
I believe that is a brave, firm step. Saying we want some, you know, some clear direction here.
Thank you.
I think it's important.
Councilman Moy.
Just a response to Councilmember Pound's point. I hear what you're saying, and I would love for us to be able to nudge the governor with the, hey, we're looking for strong leadership. My fear and my concern from what I've seen is he needs the specificity. From what we've seen coming from the governor's office, it's been unclear, it's been inconsistent, and it's been unenforceable. And I'm afraid without specificity, we're not going to get a response. And I'm going to reiterate the plea I made earlier, because hopefully there's more folks that are tuned into the live stream. We need to all reach out to the governor and urge him to take action. This resolution is the step that we're taking officially as the city. For those of you who feel strongly, however you feel, I would urge you all to reach out to the governor and express your opinion as well.
Agreed.
Any other discussion? Hearing none. Roll call vote, please.
Mayor Carroll?
Aye.
Councilmember Bell?
Aye.
Councilmember Popson?
Aye.
Councilmember Pounds?
Aye.
Councilmember Ward?
Aye.
Councilmember Streetman?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Moy?
Aye.
And Councilmember Buchanan?
Aye.
That's a unanimous vote, 9-0. That's the end of it. However, please, for our residents who are watching live streaming, go to www.iop.net and look at our latest news. All this will be posted on there. Please keep up. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to point people to the website and the updates, which include a link to a transcript of our Wednesday meeting with an exchange with MUSC expert Ed O'Brien, who has been mentioned a few times in our discussion. And please read through that transcript, which includes a lot of concerns about the situation of hotels and the turnover that we see in weekly vacation rentals and the risks that pose to public health.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Sorry. I forgot to make one comment. The resolution cites my evil twin, James Moy. So we'll
sorry
just
about that.
Get that corrected.
Okay. We will. Thank you.
So corrected.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank y'all so much.
That's a sign.